Hi, this is Chip Brim, and this is the voice of One Witness Radio broadcast with Dr. Billy Brim. Today you'll be hearing from Billy Brim's classic message series entitled Holiness. As you listen to these teachings, you will learn how to discipline the flesh, live according to the Spirit, separate yourself more into God to become endued with power, and become holy as He is holy. So grab your Bible and enjoy today's message.
Bless the Lord. And so, the Lord began to speak to me about the blood of the Lamb and what it meant to us in overcoming the devil. And the whole of the matter is contained in a word called, it's a blood word, and it's the word redeemed. We overcome the devil because of our redemption. And turn with me to 1 Peter 1. Hallelujah. Blessed be the Lamb of God. 1 Peter 1:18. Writing to the church, he says, "For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold," verse 19, "but you were redeemed," we could supply that word here, "with the precious blood of Christ," the precious blood of the Anointed One and His anointing, they go together, you know, "as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you." Glory be to God, hallelujah. The reason that we can overcome the devil is because of the shed blood, the precious blood of Jesus Christ. It is the price paid to redeem us. Now, I'm going to go back just a little bit on the meaning of redemption. You do not redeem a new dress. You do not redeem a new car. You could redeem your wedding rings if you had taken them to the pawn shop, gotten some money for them, then you go and buy them back. To redeem means to be to buy back. And the best way I learned about redemption, and I told you this story the other years, but I'm telling you again, it always blesses me and helps me to understand redemption. It's a little boat story. And I heard it when I was a little girl in either the spring or fall revival at our Baptist church, which I always went to. And one of the preachers preached this. There was a little boy and his daddy, and they whittled out a little wooden boat together, painted it red, put a little white sail on it, and went out every day and sailed it together in the river that ran through their village. Something happened, the daddy passed away, and the little boy then would go down and sail that boat and have good memories of himself and of his daddy and him. But one day a great big wind came and filled that little sail and carried that boat right out to the sea. He ran down the edge of the river, but his little legs wouldn't go fast enough to stop it, and he was really sad and cried that he didn't have his little boat. About Thanksgiving time, he'd been sorrowful over it, but about Thanksgiving time, he walked past the toy shop window, and there in the toy shop window was his little boat. He ran inside and told the toy shop owner, "That's my little boat. My dad and I made it." The toy shop owner said, "Well, some fishermen brought it in, and I'll let you have it just for what I paid them for it." But he didn't have any money at all. This was a long, long time ago. And so he went to work. He cut wood. He sold newspapers. He did everything he could to earn the money. And each day he would go by the toy shop window to see if his little boat were still there. He got his money together finally on almost frightened to look in the window and see. He thought someone would surely buy that wonderful boat for their child for Christmas. But it was still there. And he walked in and put all of his pennies down on the counter and took the little boat. And when he walked out the door, he clasped the little boat to his bosom and he said, little boat, you're twice mine. I made you and I bought you." And that is the meaning of redemption. God made us, crowned us with glory. We fell from the glory into the hands of Satan, but the blood of Jesus Christ paid our redemption price and bought us back. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. I told you that when I was learning about the glory many years ago, 20 years ago now, the Lord showed me a little mini vision of this fall. And I saw as He crowned man with His glory before all creation and said, "Let us make man in our image and our likeness, and let them have dominion over the works of our hands." and he crowned man with glory. I saw Satan come and tempt the man, and I saw the man fall down into the clutches of Satan after God had spoken such wondrous things about him. And I saw the man cowering behind Satan. I saw God, as it were, over here in his glory. But I saw that the man could not come into the glory. For sin cannot abide the power of God. Sin cannot abide the glory of the Lord. Sin, Wigglesworth said, stops the power of God. No one who sins, Wigglesworth said, operates in power. And so sin, the man was in the clutches of sin. And he was down here behind the devil. And I heard the devil laugh at God and say, "What are you going to do now? What are you going to do now? What are you going to do now? Ha, 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 ha." And I saw God not answer him, because he didn't need to do anything now. There was a lamb slain before the foundation of the world. Glory to God. Before the man ever sinned, he had provided the redemptive blood of Jesus Christ. Now that's a background where we're coming to now. Just as angels don't come without purpose, God does nothing without purpose. He redeemed you with purpose. And let's turn to Galatians 3 and see the purpose of our redemption. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Galatians 3:13. Christ, the Anointed One, hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, "Cursed is every one that hangeth on a tree," that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. In redemption, there is always that you are redeemed from and that you are redeemed to. When God brought the Israelites out of Egypt and out of Pharaoh's place, which is a type of sin, he said to Moses, "Bring them to me out of the mountain." Bring them from Egypt, but bring them to me. There is always that you're redeemed from and that you're redeemed to. That you're redeemed from is Satan and his plan, and that you're redeemed to is God and his plan. There's no middle ground, no gray area. Well, we escaped sin, we've got fire insurance, but we can live in the world here just any old way and expect God's blessings. No, it doesn't work that way. That's what that sin is, that song is, "You're all on the altar of sacrifice laid." We're going to preach to you about that one night. Maybe tomorrow night. Glory be to God. How to do it so that you come into the place where the fullness of the power can operate through you as well as to you. We are redeemed from, but we are redeemed to. And in Galatians 3 here, it tells us that threefold redemption. Bless the Lord. Galatians 3:13, the first verse says, 13, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. There's the from. In the Old Testament, it tells you what is the curse of the law, the curse of the broken law. Because Adam fell and because people sin, here's the curse: poverty, sickness, and death. You're going to be cursed going out, you're going to be cursed coming in. You're going to have botch on your body. You're going to have every sickness and every disease comes from the curse of the broken law. You're going to carry a lot of seed into the field, but you're not going to get any crops out of it. And there's verses after verses after verses of the curse of the law. The blood of Jesus Christ redeems you and buys you back from the curses of the broken law. But glory be to God, it brings you to something. Woo, hallelujah. Verse 14, you are redeemed that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ. You are redeemed from the curses, but you are redeemed to the blessings. Woo, glory be to God. Turn to Deuteronomy 28 just for a minute. You know these, but let's look at them just a little bit. Deuteronomy 28. Hallelujah, glory be to God. You know when they came, I love to go to Mount Gerizim. That's one place we always go on our trips to Israel, is Mount Gerizim. It's the Mount of Blessing. You probably don't go there on your trips to Israel because you have to apply to the government for the right to go and get a military escort to go because there's no peace today on the Mount of Blessing. But we go there anyway. And we stand on the edge of the Mount of Blessing and the winds just blow, you know, through your hair. And we imagine that day when Joshua came into the land and the Lord said to him, he came in with the children of Israel after their 40 years in the wilderness. He said, now there's a mountain over there named Ebal. You put plaster on its rocks and you write in all the curses. You write in these curses here on that rock in Mount Ebal, the mountain of cursing. So let's look at Deuteronomy 28. Here's some of the things they wrote. Verse 16. Cursed shalt thou be in the city, cursed shalt thou be in the field. You can't get away from the cursings. Cursed shall be your basket and your store. Cursed shall be the fruit of your body, that's your children. The fruit of the land, the increase of your cattle, the flocks of your sheep. Cursed shall you be when you come out, and cursed shall you be when you come in. And all it admits is pestilences. And it tells about your ox will die. And all the things will happen to you. And the sore botch will come. And then it gets down to verse 61. It says, every sickness and every plague which is not written in the book of this law are in the curses. All sickness, all disease, all poverty, all of those horrible things that can happen to your children, they plastered them and wrote them on Mount Ebal. And he said, now over here on Mount Gerizim, you put plaster on the rocks and you write in the blessings. So on Mount Gerizim, they wrote these wonderful blessings. Hallelujah. Verse 3, blessed shalt thou be in the city, blessed shalt thou be in the field, blessed shall be the fruit of your body and the fruit of your ground and the fruit of your cattle and the increase of your kine and the flocks of your sheep. Blessed shall be your basket and your store. God will even bless you storing up goods. Blessed shall you be when you come in, and blessed shall be you be when you go out. The Lord shall cause your enemies that rise up against you to be smitten before your face. They shall come out against you one way and flee seven ways. The Lord shall command the blessings upon you in the storehouse. Verse 11, you shall be plenteous in goods. And so we see that he'll open up the windows of heaven and pour out. Verse 12, the Lord shall open unto thee his good treasure, the heavens, to give the rains unto your land. And you will be, verse 13, I shall make you the head and not the tail. You shall be above and not beneath. I've been among the Jews for all the holy days. And so
Thank you for listening to today's broadcast. To order these teachings in their entirety or learn more about Billy Brim Ministries, please log on to www.billybrim.org. That's www.billybrim.org. Or call us at 1-800-972-3447. Or you can write to us at P.O. Box 40, Branson, Missouri, 65615. And this is Chip Brim saying, Shalom.